Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in to another episode of Nerd Up. This week, I've got Asa Gray.
Vote for 21 Pilots in the poll.
And Mandy Kennedy.
Is it okay now? Can I?
Yeah, you can talk.
Hi, vote for Coheed instead.
Coheed and Cambry is the correct choice.
Wow, using your platform to put your views out there is kind of unprofessional. You guys should be ashamed of yourself.
What Ace is talking about on Facebook, facebook.com/podzilla1985, we currently have a poll going because for those of you not in the know, Coheed and Cambria released Unheavenly Creatures on the same day that 21 Pilots released whatever their album's called.
Clear, Trenches? Unbiased reporting.
I honestly don't know. It's something like that. Yeah, they came out on the same day, and it's come up around the studio which album was better. On Facebook right now, on facebook.com/podzilla1985, you can vote on which album you believe is superior. Right now, Coheed is in the lead by a significant margin. So if you're a 21 Pilots fan,
if this backfires on us,
if you were going really if you were going to vote for Coheed, might as well not. You guys have such a lead.
As we should.
That's why reporting ongoing poll results is a terrible idea, and I wish they would stop it in real life.
Yeah. No, it's because exactly that happens. Oh, cool. I don't need to leave my house and go to the polls. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we're not going to get into that. But, yeah, if you liked either album, go vote for that album because it very much could turn. Allie's friends are all probably, you know, waking up and getting over their hangovers. Was that what young 20-somethings do?
Yeah.
Okay, so Coheed fans, ask your parents' permission to log on the internet in your super edgy t-shirt.
No, they don't need to ask permission. Yeah, they already got computers from
already,
their parents.
Yeah. And if you don't, just vote Coheed because it's the right choice.
Coheed is absolutely the superior album. I can say that now having listened to both. It's just better, guys. It's a really good album.
I'm just saying, Shannon made such a big deal about how much better the Coheed album was, but on the way to CCW last night, he asked Allie to put on a song, and it wasn't a song from Coheed.
But his entrance is Coheed's, and that's all that matters.
His entrance is Taylor Swift.
No, it's not.
Is it not?
It was the Dark Sentencer. Get out!
I didn't hear his entrance played, but at the last show, it was definitely Taylor Swift.
It was definitely the Dark Sentencer today.
Okay.
Yesterday.
Well, then he changed it.
And he will better keep it.
Well, I mean,
Taylor Swift was funny, though. Like that. Because it actually fit.
But
like,
he's a bad guy now, so he needs good.
This was dark, edgy Taylor.
No, that doesn't count. That doesn't count.
Look what you made her do.
So, Podzilla, or facebook.com/podzilla1985. We got the poll up there.
And we do a poll like every week, too.
We do. And we talk about it on our Thursday show, usually. So, yeah, check that out. Vote for Coheed. It's the better album. Just do it. All right. On to actual nerdy stuff. So, Alan Tudyk is going to voice the Joker in the Harley Quinn series.
I'm on board.
Yeah, no, this is probably the best Joker-related announcement we've had in a decade.
I don't remember this man, so... Yay.
Hey, hey.
Yeah.
Oh.
Dale and Tucker versus Evil, Firefly.
Yeah, he's in good. So much stuff.
Yeah.
He was also the voice of the robot in Rogue One.
Mm-hmm. I really want to... I want to hear his voice. I want to hear what he does with it because I feel like he's either going to do a really good Mark Hamill impression or he's going to do something like way different.
Seeing that Kaylee Cuoco, or however you say her name, Cuoco, whatever, the girl from Big Bang Theory.
I know.
Yeah. Seeing as like hearing her, Harley Quinn, since she did not try to just completely do Arlene Sorkin, which is what every other Harley Quinn voice actor has done since forever.
Yep.
I don't imagine that they will go that direction, where it's just like, do your best Mark Hamill. Yeah. But he might still do that. I don't know. I feel like he's got a broad enough range that he can bring his own kind of thing to the party.
What if it's just, hey, hey?
Okay.
Just
every time Joker talks, it's like,
yeah. Yeah, and that is like the voice he uses, but really the laugh. Like I'm dying to hear.
Yeah, I'm dying
what he's got
to
planned
hear
for the laugh.
Yeah, because the Joker laugh is a huge part of that character. Mm. Like, yeah, it's
either, like I'm sure it'll be great.
I am too. I trust him implicitly. Mm-hmm. Like he's just awesome.
As long as they just let him Like, this is the idea that I have. I want to do. Yeah, okay, that's good. But what if you just did Mark Hamill?
My guess is they got him with, like he auditioned for it, like, using the voice he was going to use.
Oh, yeah,
is
that's
my
a good
guess.
Point. Mm-hmm.
And they liked that, and that's what they're going to go with. Gotcha. I'm sure they didn't just, like, call him up, like, hey.
You can do Mark Hamill, right?
You do voices. come be the Joker. Gets there on day one, like, all right, do your best Joker. It needs to be more Mark Hamill-y. I could see that happening. But I don't think it did. So, yeah, I mean, we'll see what we get out of that later once we get more information. Something else that I wish we hadn't got information about. So we found out a little while ago that Bane was going to show up in Gotham this season. Which, you know, it's just another character that doesn't make any sense to show up in that show. But I love Bane. So I was like, all right, cool. This season might be cool. And then they showed us Bane.
I have given up on the idea that, like, none of these characters that we're getting in Gotham should be in Gotham. They have long since abandoned the idea of we are just telling ground-level stories featuring, like, a detective stories featuring young Jim Gordon.
Yeah.
We've decided, no, that's lame. We're just going to throw a bunch of villains at you with no Batman.
Yes.
And then they give us this abomination.
Yes.
I know I was down on, like, the new Scarecrow that they showed because that looked really stupid. And I've been down on a lot of the choices they make, like having like six different Jokers, because that's really stupid. But dear Lord, an awful robot look in hell is this. It's so bad. This is a fan-made Darth Vader costume after they take off the helmet.
Yeah. No, this is just
like
awful.
I can hear the terrible Spirit Halloween beeps and boops that this chest piece makes. I am offended by this. Bane is one of the greatest villains that Batman has.
And to get this treatment, this is arguably worse than Batman and Robin.
I need to see it in action. Well, no, the characterization, because that did really kind of lead to just Bane is just a mindless henchman,
mm-hmm.
musclehead, because he's not. He leads armies.
Right.
Like, he is smarter than Bruce.
Yes.
He
figured out Bruce Wayne's identity. He beat the bat. Broke his back.
This guy doesn't look like he can do anything.
Nah.
Yeah, this guy looks like he has to ring a bell for them to come and change out his colostomy bag. Like,
and he's going to get stopped by a young Jim Gordon.
And granted, in fairness, I'm trying to not be super like negative about everything. Like, it's something I've been working on. Maybe this is just like this is just the leaked image, because this isn't an official photo. This is a leaked image. Maybe this is, like, we're seeing this out of context. Like, this is him. He is dying because he's become addicted to Venom and he doesn't have it. Like, because we've seen that story before.
Which is also just a really interesting thing in that, you know, given this timeline, they're giving us a Bane that's on the back end.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah.
That's another. Oh, that's just, it's dumb. I don't understand it, and it's dumb.
It's mm-hmm. depressing to look at.
It's so bad. It's so bad.
I hate it so much. I hate it
so much.
That's
how they started my morning. Mandy, look at this.
Oh, we got more upsetting news for you later.
Do we?
Yeah.
The devil thing.
Well, that's not upsetting.
You haven't told me yet.
No, I meant the date being pushed back.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, that'll be the third time I have to hear it.
Yeah, that's actually coming up next, guys. Wonder Woman 1984 has been pushed from November 1st, 2019 to June 6th, 2020.
It's like the worst news this year.
Well,
that's
if it makes
a
you
lie,
feel
but it's
any
really
better,
upsetting.
The reboot of Clueless will be taking its theatrical spot.
No.
Which, I mean, but like Wonder Woman opening in June makes more sense because it's, you know, that could be a huge summer blockbuster.
Yeah, absolutely.
Type deal. So, and then when does, oh no, because Aquaman comes out this year, so never mind.
Does it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, no, you're right.
Well, it's
you're
not
right.
Wonder Woman.
Same day as Bumblebee.
Yeah.
I'm gonna see Aquaman twice. I'm sorry, but seeing the trailer before Halloween, like on the big screen, and that footage of Black Manta, all right, let's go.
I'm sure it'll be good, but it's not
great.
Wonder Woman.
Which I know Warner Brothers and DC does.
They do great trailers.
They do great
trailers. You remember how good the Suicide Squad, the first Suicide Squad trailer was?
Why do you have to bring that up?
I have to remind other people. Like, if you were able to forget it, I have to remind the others. Because
but Jason Momoa.
Jason Momoa is awesome.
Think how wet he's going to be.
I mean, there was Will Smith and Margot Robbie, too.
Yeah, but neither of them are Jason Momoa. Will Smith does nothing for me anymore. Like, there's just been too many. Like, he's good. I'm not going to actively avoid anything he's in. But that said, I am not going to.
He's not a seller for you.
When he's announced as anything, it's like, okay, he'll do fine. He'll either.
I could absolutely see that character being Will Smith'd.
He will range between he'll do fine or he'll just be Will Smith. And I can't, and I won't look past that.
I mean, honestly, like, him just being Will Smith is still him doing fine. Because he did, even like, even Deadshot. He just did Will Smith as Deadshot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, we're not going to keep talking about Suicide Squad. Or Will Smith. Wonder Woman 1984 got pushed. So, that's a bummer.
Which Gal Gadot called it, like, its rightful home in June. Yeah, but I think that is because, like, just the. It's a summer blockbuster, and it should be treated as such.
Which is fine. I just really hope that it's because they wanted to move it to a different time slot and not because they're having more production issues.
I feel like we would have heard about that. Like, not in an official announcement, but, like, there would have been reports like, oh, hey, this is why it actually got moved back.
I would also think that, but I don't.
Especially with these Warner Brothers movies, because they hold no secrets anymore.
That's pretty true. Unless maybe they were just being really hard on this one. I don't know. Anyway, we got a new trailer for Reign of the Superman, which is the DC animated feature that directly follows Death of Superman. Mm-hmm. Death of Superman was actually really good, followed the original timeline pretty well, with a little bit of a mixture of that the current DC animated universe, and then Reign of the Supermen being the direct sequel to it. And the trailer looks great. And it definitely looks like something that it looks like it's going to be true to the original story.
Yeah, I mean, and for the most part, those animated ones are really good. There's only been a handful of misses.
Yeah,
and with how when you look back and like, I just recently stopped to think like, how many of these have they done?
So many.
And for them to only have just a few that were either bad or not great is impressive.
Well, it's Superman, so I'm sure it's not that great.
Well, it's one of the more interesting Superman stories. If you want the if you want the best version of it, go to Max Landis's. There's a video. There's like a 15-minute video of Max Landis just getting drunk and running down that whole story.
Jesus.
But then it's being reenacted. It's kind of like drunk history. It's like drunk comic history. Granted, this was done way before the show.
Yeah.
So there's got like people like Elijah Wood.
What?
Are in it, yeah. Because he just gets a bunch of his Hollywood friends to, like, reenact it.
That's cool. Yeah, I might need to check
it out. It's pretty amazing. Have you not seen it?
No.
Oh, it's so... Hunter's going to be so upset at you.
No, it'll be all right. I'll watch it. I'll watch it. It'll be fine. Yeah, no, the first movie, though, like, I have it. It's actually really good. I enjoyed it quite a bit. The fight scene is great. I say the fight scene... For those of you who don't know, I'm not going to spoil anything, but the entire bit of Death of Superman is a fight with one villain.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little bit of setup, maybe like 5-10 minutes. The rest of it is them fighting.
Yes.
And then there's a little bit of the fallout, you know, of the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really good. It's really well done. And yeah, that's just, you know, it's one of the biggest moments of comic book history was, Superman's death.
Good.
Yeah. So yeah, no, it was good. And Reign of the Superman, I'll probably get it as well. Finish it up because that was also an interesting story, which is basically just a bunch of people coming in to fill the hole that Superman left. That was where like Superboy was introduced. There was, you know, three other Supermen that were less cool, and then there's Superman. Well, John Henry Irons is cool, but anyway, Disenchantment. The Matt Groening Netflix exclusive that's, you know, right along the same vein as The Simpsons and Futurama. It is getting the rest of its first season coming next year. And then it's been renewed for a second season starting in 2020. And it'll do the same thing. We're going to get 10 episodes at a time. 2019 will get the rest of season one. 2020 will get the first part of season two. And 2021, we'll get the second part of season two.
That sounds terrible.
It is, yes.
I mean, I don't watch it, so.
I still haven't finished the first season.
That sounds terrible. And that makes me not want to watch it because I'm going to have to wait for forever.
Yep. That's fair. It's worth watching, though, because it's a really good show. Like, it starts kind of slow, but mm-hmm. it really picks up.
Yeah, I'm right sure it's on my it's probably oh, on see. My list.
Yeah, and it's just like I'm 4 or 5 episodes in, and it just hasn't grabbed me as much as I really wanted it to.
Yeah, I think it's like episode 6 is when stuff gets really good.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, they sort of finish up a plot line and start something new, and then the season ends.
Hmm.
Well, I say season ends. Part 1 ends.
Of season 1?
Yeah.
When's part 2 coming out?
2019.
Oh, is that what they're saying this is?
2019. That's well, because it's 2019. This is a show how well Asa listened at the table.
I was like, I know.
2019 is part 2 of season 1. 2020 is part 1 of season 2.
Oh, okay, that's
2021
what it was.
Is part 2 of season 2.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So yeah.
I missed that part. I missed the part 1 part, and I just heard the season 2s, and I was like, but gotcha. I thought, when does the season? Okay.
Yep. 2019.
It just doesn't end. They just
no.
It's just season 2 now.
Yeah, just once a year you get 10 episodes. It's terrible.
Fill in what happened in between.
Oh. Anyway, Guillermo del Toro. So with some more Netflix news, he is going to co-direct a Pinocchio movie as a Netflix exclusive.
No.
The best part, stop motion.
That's so terrifying sounding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. I'm so surprised this is a Netflix thing, though.
I am also a little bit surprised about that. It means it's not going to be Disney.
Which I thought Disney owned Pinocchio.
No, it's public domain.
It's so old.
With all of the fighting Disney has done with public domain.
Pinocchio's not popular, though.
Well, I mean, like, even their stuff, like...
So, like, they probably wouldn't keep it.
Because Pinocchio existed even before Disney. So, like, anybody mm-hmm. can make, an Alice in Wonderland story or a... Well, I don't know if you... I'm pretty sure you can do Cinderella by the... Yeah, you have to have been able to do Cinderella by this point. A lot of those, like, really old Disney franchises
mm-hmm.
Were in public domain when Disney got a hold of them.
Hmm.
So, yeah, this doesn't have to be a Disney feature.
Okay. Oh, then, yeah, it's definitely going to be super messed up.
Like, yep.
Because, then, like, what we were talking about when I sent you that link, like, he doesn't think it's going to be. Like, he doesn't... Like, I'm sure Guillermo del Toro is just going to make a really beautiful-looking Pinocchio story.
No.
But it's going to be the stuff of nightmares. It's just...
I already have him, like, creepy looking in my mind. Like, I already know.
Yeah, because it's like the example I used was when I was talking to this. It's like me and spicy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm so used to, and spicy stuff is part of my general diet, that stuff that is spicy, that is not at all spicy to me, might light Mandy up. And I don't even think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's so that's gonna be Del Toro and Pinocchio. I made this movie, and everybody's gonna be like, "This movie creepy AF."
Yeah,
he's like, "But guys,
no, this is for children."
I'll let him know it's gonna be creepy.
What do you mean it got rated R? Also, that's not how this works.
Children's movie. So I want to look it up real quick.
I love that man. I do too.
Del Toro's awesome.
His name is just scary sounding.
all right, so I did look it up real quick. Yeah, Cinderella. I Googled Cinderella public domain because I was curious, because I was pretty confident it was. Because mm-hmm. it's a really old story. And the Google like excerpt that it throws up at the top, when you do a Google search about something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Cinderella is a story that is in the public domain. And then,
however,
and like in parentheses after it, much like most all Disney works, that's
really it was because funny. Mickey was going to hit public domain.
That's why they kept
fighting to get it extended.
Well, that's like the face of Disney, though.
Yeah, and like I think it's this year is the first time in like 20 years that something has been added to the public domain,
mm-hmm.
And Mickey's. Well, Disney's going to fight to get it pushed again, but hopefully there's been enough, like, public awareness now about, like, how Disney ruined the public domain. Which, for those of you not informed on that story, the quick version is Mickey was about to hit public domain, so Disney spent ludicrous amounts of money lobbying to extend public domain mm-hmm. so that they could retain the exclusive rights to Mickey Mouse.
Yep.
Mickey Mouse is now, like, I think 10 years out. Like, in 10 years, Mickey will be public domain unless Disney manages to push it again.
Which I would be shocked if they didn't.
Right. I would also be shocked if they didn't. They love them, that mouse. Just bugs me. Just because it's in the public domain doesn't mean Disney can't keep using it.
But then other people can.
Other people can do interesting things with it.
And it's just not going to be good. Yeah. Why would you want the face of Disney to be everyone's face?
Because Disney's a private corporation and don't get special treatment.
Right.
But
to laws.
And most of Disney's franchises are built on the public domain.
And for them to be like, no, the public domain is different now.
Okay, stop attacking me. It's fine. God.
Yeah, Disney. The mouse is coming for us now.
It already was. There's a file.
It's a small file, PZ85.
Walt Disney's frozen head is just like calculating.
How exactly?
That's why we can't get any engagement.
Down.
He's blocking it.
He's somehow stopping it. Mm-hmm. Prove Disney wrong, folks. Hit us up on Facebook. So anyway, moving past it though, like yeah, that I'm really really excited for that because it's gonna be cool. Del Toro doing a, like, Pinocchio's already kind of a creepy story. Like, if you take the bare bones of it.
Oh, if you just watch the Disney movie. The Disney movie's kind of not fun.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of bits of that movie that are kind of awful.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, no, Del Toro doing a Pinocchio story is...
On board. Whew. Let's go.
Whew, this is going to be good. It's going to be real good. Anyway, Catherine Langford has been cast in Avengers 4. We don't know as who or what. I thought that we had a casting for Cassie Lang,
mm-hmm.
Which that's just Langford Lang. Anyway, Ant-Man's daughter, mm-hmm. Scott Lang. We did get confirmation that she will be like high school aged for this movie.
And I thought we'd gotten like there was like a story that they were casting for her, but they were casting older girls.
Yeah,
like I don't know if they ever announced that they officially found someone.
They haven't, not for Cassie,
mm-hmm.
but they did announce officially that it's going to be like high school age. Like we're going to get an older Cassie,
right?
Hmm. Which a lot of people are, you know, thinking, assuming, etc., that this movie is going to, well, it would have to unless there's time travel involved. Which, please no. This movie is several years past.
I think the Russo brothers have said it's like 5 or 6 years.
I saw that number a lot, but I didn't see Russo attached to it, so I didn't know for sure.
Maybe they haven't, but I'm pretty sure like someone official had. Maybe they didn't confirm the number, but they have confirmed that there is a time jump.
Okay,
like we are Avengers 4 is picking up X number of years after the snap.
Gotcha, which makes sense. So yeah, hopefully. I say hopefully. We don't know what we're getting. I thought we had a casting for Cassie,
mm-hmm.
but when I looked at her name again, it was like Emily Furman, I think is what her name was.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, whenever I saw that casting, I looked again the other day when I saw Catherine Langford got cast, and we haven't gotten any news about that girl since the day of, confirming or denying from Disney.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was never confirmed. It was just sources say. And then there was like some stuff on the girl's social media that kind of backed it up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But we have not gotten anything since then. That was April of this year.
Okay.
And I figured if that was official, we probably would know about it by now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm thinking Catherine Langford might be Cassie or this
any
could
number
be,
of other.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's extremely possible that they're giving us young Avengers in this,
mm-hmm.
and starting, you know, another offshoot movie.
I wouldn't dig that.
It depends on how they do it.
I mean, I'm sure they would do it well, but like, I don't know.
Because, yeah, we very well could be getting like...
Young Avengers has never been a team that I liked. The most I've ever liked Kate Bishop as Hawkeye was in Matt Fraction's run.
Mm-hmm.
And outside of that, it's just like,
Because was Kate Bishop in the Young Avengers?
I have a version of them, I'm sure. But because like
I know like Hawkeye's daughter was in the Young Avengers,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't think Kate was.
I thought Kate was like the leader at one point.
That's a possibility, but honestly, I don't know enough about it.
And I don't
I
don't either.
Because the Young Avengers is also
I might be thinking of West Coast Adventures.
West Coast Avengers does have Kate Bishop in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like she is currently leading that team.
Well, and she's been in it before.
Yeah. So yeah, that's happening, but yeah, I don't know. I don't know for sure. I know, like, Wiccan is a big part of Young Avengers, hasn't been in much else.
Mm-hmm.
Hulkling, stuff like that. Like, all the characters they could introduce in this movie.
And it's all, every time they do stuff like that, it just feels like knockoff versions of the real thing.
Yeah.
And it's hard for me to get on board.
Yeah. I can see that. So yeah, I don't know. I don't know exactly what's going to happen. Like Catherine Langford could be Kate Bishop.
Mm-hmm.
Like could be Cassie Lang. Could be any number of people. So we don't know.
They also said that there was going to be a returning character to Avengers 4 that was going to like surprise people.
Mm.
Who? Whatever.
I have a theory.
Well, okay. Boba Fett movie not happening, likely because of the TV show.
And because Solo didn't break $1 billion.
Just unfortunate. It was such a good movie.
I like that movie.
Oh, no, I'm not saying anything bad about the movie. Just like, no, oh, yeah. All of our Star Wars movies have broken $1 billion. This one didn't. This one didn't even break like 400 million. Nope, no more.
Because it still made dumb amounts of money.
Yeah, it was like 340 million.
Yeah, it just didn't make Disney money.
Yeah. Which it didn't make Star Wars money.
Star Wars money, that's a better word for it. Well, I mean, Disney money still works.
Well, yeah.
Because, yeah, no, like, well, you've got, like, some Disney movies approaching $1 billion. Or no, wait, did...
No, all of the Star Wars movies have broken $1 billion.
Yeah, that's right, that's right. Yeah, and then Avengers 4 almost hit $2 billion.
Yeah, and then this one didn't even hit $500 million.
That's because Avengers 4 is amazing.
Not Avengers 4. Infinity Wars, which was 3. Avengers 4 is the one coming.
It's going to be amazing.
Yeah, it
will I'm real curious to see how Avengers 4 does. I don't think it'll do as well as 3.
It has to. People got to know.
But I think enough people are going to be like, oh, well, I mean, over long term, yeah. Maybe. I don't know. I just feel like there's going to be a lot of people that are going to feel like it was a cop-out because now we have all of these other movies announced and plans. And so like, oh, well, so that didn't matter.
But at the same time,
I am not one of those people. Like I think Disney should not have been like so open about these other movies they're making. Like that should have been under super lock and key. Instead of getting like Tom Holland being adorable on Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Honestly, everybody had to kind of assume that these characters are coming back anyway.
But
yeah.
What if they didn't? What if instead of, oh, we have the new director for Black Panther 2 and Spider-Man gets a title officially. Like, and I get they have shareholders and stuff like that, so they have to be forthright with some of that stuff. But just imagine the world where that ending happens and then they go radio silent. All right, we've already planned out Ant-Man and Wasp and Captain Marvel. And we're going to do Avengers the following year. And then you don't hear anything. What is going on? That level of hype would be...
Yeah.
I'd lose my mind. I would hate it so much.
I still feel like all of the comic book fans are going to know.
Well, yeah, of course you know. But without them being like, they would have said something. We don't know anything after Avengers. And they, like, you know they're making more movies. What are they making?
Yeah, no, I get that would be neat.
Do you think... Well, I mean, so Sony made Venom. Was Spider-Man only in 4 movies? Like, was only he only in for, like, 3 movies or however many it was? Oh.
Yeah, no, it would have been neat. Like, there could have been some stuff they could have done with it, but at the same time, like, if they actually put it into the mind or put it into the minds of people that it's possible Black Panther is dead and Spider-Man is dead and a bunch of, you know, all these other characters that died in that movie, that might be the iceberg that sinks the MCU. Like,
see, I don't think it will, because then you have everybody watching the next Avengers to find out, okay, well, what's going on here? And then when they come back and they're like, oh, hey, by the way, here's our schedule for the next 4 years. Which is what they're going to do anyway.
Right.
Except we already know, like, okay, there's going to be a Spider-Man movie. There's going to be a Black Panther sequel. There may or may not be a Guardians 3.
There will be eventually. Hopefully.
We'll see.
Yeah.
When you say Spider-Man movie, do you mean the animated one or like another live action?
No, like the live action one. Far From Home.
Yep.
Okay.
But it's going to be... But it's
why do you seem so sad about this?
Because I tried to like Homecoming and I didn't, and I just don't like Spider-Man.
Hot take by Mandy.
Yeah.
And I just don't...
How did you not like that movie?
Jesse, we got to move on.
Oh, my God.
We got to move on.
And
I don't know if I can.
I know. I believe it. Look at me. Look at me right here. I believe it.
There's not a plow big enough.
I solely only want to see the other one because Nick Miller's in it.
Oh, my God.
That's my only saving grace.
Good Lord. I hope Wonder Woman 84 is bad now.
I need you, everyone at home, to understand, like, you could feel the air get taken out of the room. You are so deflated right now. This is like when the
Homecoming
first...
Homecoming isn't a good movie to me?
The first... No,
it's not even a popcorn flick to me, Jesse.
What? Now you're just trying to be hurtful.
Yeah. I know.
I mean, no, I know you're not.
Because you said a perfectly hurtful statement to me, from my honest opinion.
Whenever the first WrestleMania we went to, and Lee was so hyped because Alberto Del Rio, before we found out the kind of person he is, he was probably going to win the world championship, and it was going to be this huge moment, it was going to be awesome. And then he lost in the first match. Lee was so just, it kind of ruined his night. On top of it was a bad WrestleMania. Anyway, that's kind of what just happened. Jesse's hurt.
Don't know how I didn't hear about this before.
I think she was probably trying to defend you, but now... She was trying to protect you from those feelings, but now it's...
I just don't understand it. Like, that was just an objectively good film. No, Mandy is
That's
wrong.
Another show. That's another show.
Anyway, Legendary is adapting My Hero Academia to a live-action movie, which Legendary is doing it, so it's a big...
So that's a big production studio. Company.
So it might be okay.
Again, I'm not a huge anime person. Mm-hmm. So, but don't live action like versions of anime.
They don't go well.
Yeah, that
historically no.
Has Legendary done any of them?
I don't know. Like I don't remember who did like, Ghost in the Shell, but that's the only other one that got like a really big like American theatrical release.
Mm-hmm.
Several of them gotten theatrical releases in America, but most of the time they're just you know subs from Japan.
Oh, okay.
And because like. Oh, what is the Attack on Titan got a live action movie that was Japan only that wasn't very good.
Mm-hmm.
Ghost in the Shell obviously got one. Netflix did the
Full Metal.
Netflix did full. Well, Netflix didn't do Full Metal. That was just the only way to see it in America.
Oh.
It was another studio that did that, and it was bad, but it was also Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And then Netflix did an American version of.
Death Note.
That was the one I was trying to think of. And that one I liked. Most people did not.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause it was, yeah. But I don't know. Like, I don't think Legendary had anything to do with that one or Ghost in the Shell, but I'm honestly not sure.
Yeah. I just wasn't sure. I just know that's usually a trend of, oh, we're making a live action thing. And it's usually immediately followed by, oh, wish they hadn't.
I don't know why they still are.
I mean, they do really well in Japan.
Yeah.
I don't know. Oh, and then the Dragon Ball movie was pretty atrocious.
God, that was so long ago, I forgot.
I know it doesn't count as, by purest standards, it doesn't count as anime, but we also had the Avatar.
Whew, yeah, we did.
Which there's a new one coming.
Yeah.
Which hopefully will be better.
We talked about that one before, because it's got, like, the original, like, writer and, like, music for... What is so funny?
I'm sorry. Mandy's playing Pokemon Go on her phone, and she actively just flipped off the phone.
Oh, because she threw like 8 Pokeballs at this thing.
Yeah, and I'm trying to get great throws, just her and that was a great throw, and it moved.
And so she just flipped off the phone.
I was mad. I'm still mad because it didn't give me a great throw. How am I supposed to get extra stuff?
You deserve it for what you said about Spider-Man.
Okay, no. I refuse to be on Nerd Up Civil War.
Chilling Adventures of Sabrina hit this last
week.
It's
probably garbage. I'm sorry. I'll stop now.
I watched the first episode.
Channeling Dalton now.
I did like the first episode. It's legitimately creepy, and it's got like the whole Netflix thing where it doesn't really care about what kind of rating it's going to get.
They just did what they wanted to do.
They did what they wanted to do, and they gave us the show they wanted to give us. So it's got some blood in it. There's a little bit of partial nudity in it. And it is almost as creepy as Ace's stare right there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's got a few, like, legitimate creep factor moments. I do like what they're doing with the characters. I really like what they've done with Salem, the cat.
Mm-hmm.
It's no longer this sarcastic, chatty chat box thing that looks really silly on the screen because it's an animatronic puppet. I say that as a fan of Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
I liked Salem.
Yeah, but
so is it like scary or just like spooky?
I'd say spooky over scary.
Okay, so I can watch it and be okay.
Yeah, you'll be all right. There's a couple of moments where you'll be like, but I think you'll be okay.
I feel if I watch Daredevil season one alone in the dark, I can probably watch Sabrina.
Very different, but yeah, probably.
Well, those fight scenes are scary.
They were very violent. Yeah. Very violent. And there are a couple of very violent moments in the first episode. That's all I've watched so far, though.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, 10 one-hour episodes, so there's a lot of content to go.
I don't know how much she's seen, but I think Audra's really liking it so far, too.
Well, that's good. Yeah, it's definitely do not go into it expecting the 90s Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Well, the trailer alone should have
clued you in on that one.
Yeah.
Because it's also, it seems like it's set in the 60s. But they're purposefully not giving an actual, like...
What the year is.
But, like, given some of the slang that I've heard so far, like, just in the first episode, and all of the vehicles, and they're giving, like, specific Tuesday the 28th was used. It's like, okay, they're not in 2018. We know this for certain.
Mm-hmm.
Because today, Sunday, is the 28th of October. But other than that, yeah, we don't really have any idea exactly what year it is. It was explicitly stated in the comic book that it's based on that it was in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we don't have any official timeline here. So far, we have not seen any cell phones. The vehicles are all like 50s and 60s. So
are they kind of doing Batman animated series where there's old elements, but it also could be modern day stuff?
Ish.
They're in an Amish country.
I mean, they're in a really small town.
Okay.
So, like, yeah, but all of the cars are old timey. So similar to Batman animated series.
Gotcha.
But yeah, I don't know.
And maybe that's addressed later in the series. Yeah.
But it's also supposed to be addressing, like, you know, current day issues as well. So yeah, that's I liked the first episode, and I do want to see more.
I gotcha.
Just again. Do not expect the campy fun that was the 90s Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much not that. And then last, Teen Titans Go versus Teen Titans confirmed for 2019. We don't know what it is or what they're doing, but they gave us a video of like the Teen Titans Go theme mashed up with the original Teen Titans theme and then said coming soon.
Well, and wasn't there the stinger? After the post-credits scene, after the Teen Titans Go movie.
Where Robin, like, hacks the screen and says they're coming back or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that...
And this looks like that's what this is.
Teaser was just like, what are you, though?
Because like, it just says Teen Titans Go versus Teen Titans.
Yeah.
That's
I hope
all
the
we got.
Teen Titans just murder Teen Titans Go, and then they're like, they rip off the Go, and they're like, oh, well, this is our show now.
F Teen Titans Go.
Yes.
Full Titans on it.
It better be actually versus and not like, oh, we'll just team up and fight this bad guy.
You know that's what it's going to be. They'll fight once and then
there'll be a big bad guy. They'll fight like Slade and Go Slade, whatever.
Because there's like that one like Justice League versus Teen Titans, and it's not at all what that name sounds like.
No.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, you're not even going to be.
Yeah, I don't know. I just want my old Teen Titans back.
Yeah.
Like, that early 2000s show was so good.
It was.
So good. Anyway, this next portion of our podcast is brought to you by our wonderful friends in Perryville, Missouri at Villainous Grounds. Check them out for all your comic book and coffee needs. IDW is going to publish a D&D Forgotten Realms comic in early 2019. It's going to be called D&D A Darkened Wish, and it'll be written by B. David Walters and Tess Fowler. It won't be called D&D. Dungeons and Dragons. Dungeons and Dragons, A Darkened Wish.
Spit it out.
Tripped over my words a little bit. Anyway, yeah, B. David Walters and Tess Fowler. We don't know any information other than that it's Forgotten Realms, and it's the first time we've gotten anything from that in a while. So there's some people out there that are very excited for this, and I'm very happy for you if that's the case. Hit up Villainous Grounds and have them set you back a copy. And that's it for comic books. This next portion of our podcast brought to you by our friends Josh and Alan of Press Start to Join. You can find all of their podcasts and social media links at ps2jshow.com. And check out their last Wednesday of each month. Boy, I'm not in it this morning. Last episode. Their episode on the last Wednesday of each month is their History of Gaming episodes. Check them out. They're all worth listening to. Good Lord. I'm sorry, Josh.
You did it.
I'm so sorry.
If he's listening to this the day it comes out, he might be too tired to notice. Because, like, when I woke up at, like, 4:30, he was on Twitter like, yep, still up, can't sleep. It's like, same.
I saw that this morning, actually. I was like, what is happening?
I just woke up like I had taken a nice nap. I was ready to go, but I was, no.
Huh. Well, I'm glad you're here with us now. And mostly awake. Red Dead. So, you're awake enough to give us your first impressions of Red Dead Redemption 2.
Okay. This game's weird. Just super weird. I will start by saying you were probably correct in not buying it. I do not think you would like it at all. Yes. It is. I'm going to quote a great poet of our time. Let me pull this back up here. By the name of, I hope I'm saying this right, Ron Funches, who tweets out, man, Red Dead Redemption 2 is both amazing and not fun. How is this possible? And then Mike Drucker follows up with, it's the most beautiful homework simulator. The game is absolutely beautiful. Like, stunningly gorgeous. You can tell how long they took on this project. Like, the lighting is incredible. Some of the, like, the animations are just beautiful. The world is so gorgeous. This is very much not a Rockstar Grand Theft Auto action game. There are shooting in it, and you kill a lot of people. But in between those segments is so deliberately paced that it's not a game you can just burn through. Like, everything takes forever to do. You have to go, like, I'm still very, very early in the game as well. Because you start in this, like, mountain range area, and then you do a couple of tutorial things. Then you go down, and then you're in your first, like, real camp setup. And it's just, like, going between the first town and back takes a few minutes, but you're just on horseback. Like, there's no fast travel. There is fast travel in the game, but it's apparently kind of weird. I haven't gotten to that point in the game yet because it comes later. And I wish I was having more fun with it. That said, I can't stop playing it. Friday night, I was still, like, I had the Dayquil in me. And so I was like, I wasn't super tired. So at like 10:30, I was like, okay, I'll do one more thing on Red Dead and then I'll jump on Call of Duty for a minute. And then I looked at my phone, it was like 12:30. And I'm like, oh, okay. Cause like I'm engrossed in it and I do want to keep I like going hunting, but it's very much, there's not just the endless sack. If you go deer hunting, you can only take one deer with you. Because that's all you can fit on the horse.
Makes sense.
If you hunt like smaller game, like birds and like rabbits and stuff like that, you can carry more of those because there's spots on the saddle that you can put those. The micromanagement stuff that if you've been listening to us for a while and you've heard me talk about is just as bad as I thought it was going to be, if not worse.
Shannon was saying he liked that. I'm like, but see, why?
And this is the thing. This is going to be an incredibly polarizing game. People are either going to love it or they are going to hate it.
I'm pretty sure I'd hate it.
The Grand Theft Auto crowd is going to hate it. But people like Shannon who can appreciate and enjoy that kind of that slow, immersive build are going to love it, and I'm somewhere in between right now. But like, if you have to eat, you have to sleep, you have to bathe, you have to clean your horse, you have to feed your horse, you have to make sure, like, when you get off of the horse, you have to make sure that you take your weapons with you.
Oh my god,
because otherwise you'll just have your pistols because those are on you, but everything else carries on your horse. So like, when a random chance encounter, I think is what they call them, appears and is like, hey, let's have a shooting contest. Okay, I accept. Oh, I didn't grab my rifle. I only have my pistols. So now when I have to do this harder version of it, I just lost the money. That said, I had the option of not paying him. I could have just gotten on my horse and rode away. Granted, he probably would have attacked me. And there's a lot of really great, like, things I'm seeing is there are amazing character interactions. There was a guy who'd gotten bitten by a snake. So I'm trying to play Arthur as good of a character as I can, even though the story missions make that kind of irrelevant because he is pretty irredeemable in some senses. So, but I suck the poison out of his leg. And then like 2 hours later, I go back into town and I hear this guy saying like, no, yeah, like right here's where it bit me. hey, it's you. You're the, like, hey, you may, I can never repay you, but go inside the gunsmith here, pick out any gun you want, and just tell him to put it on my tab.
Hmm.
And stuff like that apparently happens, like, a lot in the game. Like, the world remembers who you are and what you've done.
Yeah.
Which is super cool. Like, this is a huge world. It's super immersive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's one of the best open worlds, I think, that we're going to see in games. I just wish it was more fun to play. Because the shooting is fine. It's just... And it's still very much the witness system, and you can't commit crimes. Otherwise, you have to pay these huge bounties. Which is stupid, because I got out of a story mission, and all of a sudden, like, this new city I just found, I have a $300 bounty on me.
Yeesh.
And when you're selling deer pelts for, like, $6 each...
That's a huge bounty.
Yeah. So... And then there's a bunch of... Like, I could go on and on, but it is a gorgeous game. It is incredibly well made. I wish I liked it more than I did. More than I do. That said, I'm going to keep playing, so...
It's going to keep happening. Okay. Next up, a little bit of news. We got Resident Evil, Resident Evil Zero, and Resident Evil 4 all coming to the Switch.
Oh.
Presumably in their GameCube versions.
Mm-hmm. I'd totally take Resident Evil 4.
Yeah, no, it's going to be... Like, that's a great game.
It was great for its time, and it did great things for Resident Evil, but, like, have you gone back and played it recently?
No, because I hate that dang girl and having to make her follow you and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, and then, like...
And I think I got stuck in that castle area
mm-hmm.
for forever, and that made me real mad.
And keep in mind, like, this is one that you can't move and aim.
Yeah.
You couldn't Resident Evil 4, I thought.
Mm-mm.
Mm.
That got added in 5 or 6.
Yeah.
It was definitely in 5.
Mm-hmm. 5 was really
good. Yeah, it got added in 5.
Because 5 was the first Resident Evil game that became more like, instead
an
of horror
game.
Survival, it was... Like horror action.
Yeah.
So 4, but 4, unless they changed it in like one of the remakes that they did already.
Yeah.
The GameCube version of 4, you could not move.
Yeah,
and
I'm pretty sure you
time.
Couldn't actually now that we're talking about that.
So it's one of those things. So it's like, it's one of those like that at the time it was revolutionary because it lost the tank controls.
Yeah.
But it doesn't necessarily hold up great.
I'll definitely play 5 again though too. We played that for literally like 10 hours straight. Then when I went to bed, I was fighting zombies, and I woke up and I was like, zombies! And I was like, oh my god. Never again.
Yeah, 5 was really fun.
Yeah.
I didn't like the story at all, but it was fun to play.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And it was the 2 players, so that was pretty dope.
You could have Shiva and the... Mm-hmm. Oh, what's his name? Uh-oh. I can't remember his name.
Nikes.
Not Wesker, because
no,
he's a...
Wesker's back.
Chris Redfield?
Chris Redfield?
Chris Redfield.
Okay. Yeah, as soon as you started saying Chris, I was like, it's Chris something. Chris. I was trying to say John, and I was like, that's so wrong.
And Chris Giant Arms Redfield.
Yeah.
Punch a boulder Redfield. But couldn't break down a door.
Yeah, nope, sure couldn't.
Anyway, so that's kind of cool, and that's getting added. Hellgate London. Didn't think I'd be talking about this game in the year of our Lord 2018. Coming to Switch. November 15th. Not Switch. Steam.
Oh, I got so much more excited.
Oh, no. Sorry. Steam. November 15th of this year.
Because Hellgate London was a game that it was announced but never released?
No, it was absolutely released.
Okay.
So back in aught 7.
Mm-hmm.
2007?
Yeah.
What the...
What? Yeah. Anyway.
Carry on.
No more hostility.
Back in aught 7. Hellgate London was released that fall, and we were all super hyped about it, like me and my friends group, because this game was made by the original developers of Diablo 1 and Diablo 2.
Oh.
It was a procedurally generated 3D dungeon crawler that you could play in first person. Like, it was like Doom meets Diablo in the best way, and it was super fun to play. Then... Call of Duty came out.
Was this
no,
on PC?
No, I don't think it was called. Yeah, it was on PC.
Okay.
No, I don't think it was Call of Duty that killed it. Like, something came out that, like, that year
mm-hmm.
that completely pulled us away from it, and then I just never heard anything about it again.
Didn't Borderlands 2 come out around that same time?
This was before Borderlands 1.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Borderlands. Yeah, this was 07. Borderlands 1 came out in, like, 2008 or 9.
Okay.
But either way...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this was basically Borderlands before Borderlands,
mm-hmm.
but it was randomly generated dungeons, because every time you went into the dungeon, it was different, similar to, you know, a la Diablo 1 and Diablo 2.
Right.
And it was just super cool, and you could play in first person with, like, some shooting mechanics. It still had, like, skills and abilities and different classes and stuff you could play as. And it was super fun, and the story was super interesting. Again, I do not remember what pulled us away from this game. Halo 3.
I was going to say, I'm trying to look it up right now.
Halo 3 came out in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Sonic and the Secret Rings did.
It sure did. Halo 3 in September 28th of 2007.
I'm looking that up right
so
now.
So Jesse liked Halo 3. I remember seeing images of it in Game Informer and being so mad that I couldn't play it because I didn't have a PC.
It was so fun. Now you have a PC that can run it, for sure. I'm curious if I got that release date.
No,
right.
Does it have? Didn't. Does it?
No, September 25th, 2007.
It's the 25th right here. Dang Halo it. 3. Yep.
Did
Along with Dance Dance Revolution, Hottest Party.
Does Hellgate have a release date?
Yeah, November 15th.
Okay.
So in a couple weeks, and it'll probably be free to play, I assume.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That would be my guess. Because it went free to play back in 2011. Like, it was resurrected briefly.
So did it just come out, like, did they, what, did they close it? Because it's an, oh, I guess it's an online game. They shuttered the servers?
Yeah.
Huh.
Well, because it's also, I don't know, it's supposed to have like some single player to it and online multiplayer. It never added PvP or anything, but yeah, man, we had so much fun with that game for the brief time we played it.
But then Halo.
Then Halo 3 came out. Because I say that, like, and when I say the people that I played it with, like, it'll make extra sense because it was me and Trevor Camp and
Kevin.
MC.
Oh, mm-hmm. Kevin wasn't there?
Yeah, Kevin played it with us too. And Garrett Gunning. Those are the five people that were playing. All five of us, especially back then, huge Halo nerds.
Oh, yeah.
So as soon as Halo came out, we're like, Hellgate what?
Yeah.
No. It's so much easier to just bring a console to each other's house.
Right.
Yeah. Because Trevor and I were in the dorms. Mm-hmm. So, like, he had his laptop and I had my computer. We were playing there.
Was
and
that
MC
still,
would play with us.
Was that still on just the... Or was that on 360?
Xbox 360 right. was Halo 3. Okay, it was the first Halo on Xbox 360.
Have the geesh darn Duke Nukem controller that my hands could barely function
in
Halo
fairness,
with.
The one, or the S controller had come out with Halo 2.
Shh.
So,
I don't think Pat ever bought
then.
That, and if he did, he kept it.
Those S controllers were way more manageable.
Yeah.
Even for, like, big-handed individuals like me, the Duke was... that was...
God.
Shaq
was like,
developed
how?
That thing.
Right?
Anyway, we'll go ahead and move on here. So Black Ops 4, we talked about last week, was having some network issues, which is a legitimate complaint.
Ugh.
Yes. It's kind of gross. The 20 hertz stuff versus the 60 hertz they demonstrated during the beta, where Asa and I had the most fun with Black Ops. Not to say that we haven't been having fun with it since, but definitely the most fun there. They got in a little bit of trouble for it, and they did say that they were having some network issues for the global launch because they needed to cut down on, you know, resources and see where they could improve, where they needed to improve, etc.,
mm-hmm.
which makes sense. Crappy excuse, and almost certainly only because somebody caught them.
Yeah, oh yeah, it was very much like, okay, what can we get away with?
Yeah.
To save money.
So now, though, that the game has been out, the launch is done. They know exactly how many people have the game and are playing the game. Until Christmas, anyway, they can give us, and as of yesterday, have restored the regular multiplayer to the full 60 hertz.
Mm-hmm.
Blackout mode, all the Battle Royale mode, for those mm-hmm. that didn't get the game, is still performing at 20 hertz as of yesterday. So that one hasn't changed much, but the actual multiplayer, which is what I'm interested in,
mm-hmm.
has been fixed.
Have you played since the Switch?
No.
I'm worried that this is going to be like, it turns out we were actually benefiting from it.
I don't think that anywhere we were playing
so
has a
worse.
Fast enough connection for us to have actually been benefiting.
That's fair.
Yeah, because we have speedy connections,
mm-hmm.
but we ain't on Google Fiber or any of, because like... Gigabit internet is all over the place in big cities now.
Yeah.
And we ain't that.
No.
Not even a little bit.
No.
So, yeah. That's cool. Yeah, as of Saturday the 27th, for those not listening to this on, you know, Sunday or Monday, it's good to go. And I'm really excited to play today because
yes.
the Halloween stuff should be out on Xbox finally, and we can mess with that. Meltan got an evolution, Melmetal.
Yep.
So that's a little bit of the Pokemon news there for you. It's just this.
It looks goofy.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Like a not a muscular, but just a big glob of metal came out of the little like nut, and it has arms now.
It has
bigger
arms.
Anyway, Smash Brothers, we got probably the biggest leak. Well, definitely the biggest leak, but the most credible leak so far. Might actually be happening. Basically, a guy that works for Bandai Namco.
Also, just real quick, if you don't want this spoiled for you, like if this is real and like it's a huge direct moment, just go ahead and turn off the show now.
Yeah, because the only other thing I'm going to talk about is Devil May Cry 5, and you're going to miss Mandy's reaction to the price point.
Yeah.
So if you don't really care about that.
Do you want to just hit that real quick, and then we can close on Smash, because that's way bigger news anyway?
Yeah, I'm fine with that. All right, so we're getting a Japan-only Devil May Cry 5 Ultra Limited Edition, and I only didn't do this before Smash because I was going to cut it if Smash went too long. Basically, it's going to come with a jacket. You can get one that's V, one for Nero, or one for Dante.
I want one.
At $5,300.
What?
$6,600 or $8,000 respectively.
Mandy machine broke.
For a jacket?
Yeah.
She should.
For a jacket?
Yeah.
But it's
it's
a Dante
replica.
That doesn't
including battle damage.
I got a Wonder Woman jacket for $80.
$8,000 if you want Dante.
Jesus Christ.
Did you see what the V jacket, like, you know who V is from the game?
I don't even know.
No. It's not even a jacket. it's some fabric.
Is it like a half jacket?
Look it up.
I'm working on it.
In the meantime, the Smash League, because we are running low on time here.
What is it? VGVI?
Just V. The letter V.
V
Devil May Cry jacket.
Okay. Yeah.
So the Smash League. So we got, basically... Guy works for Bandai Namco on his Spotify. Took
Snapchat?
A couple of snaps. Yeah, Snapchat. Oh, my God. On Snapchat. Took a couple of snaps that had some marketing materials for Smash Brothers. And it said something like, infringe. It was like F Nintendo or something like that. Or
F Nintendo LOL.
Yeah, it was F Nintendo LOL. And he had just had some Nintendo marketing materials for presumably a holiday season. The marketing materials included kind of a distant picture of what looked like it would be a standee wraparound.
Well, it was a video. He was taking... That's why everything's so grainy, is because people are just trying to take stills of a video.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. Because all I saw were the big stills of it.
And people took... they took the screenshots from those.
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
Which makes sense. Okay, so yeah, in this video, you see a wraparound of the artwork with no characters on it. Basically, the constantly updating banner that we've had for a while now.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You see that background with no characters on it whatsoever. Clean background. Which is the first time we've seen anything like that. And then you see the full roster in another few images. They had to splice it together because it was a video. Makes sense now. The roster that we saw there included 7 more characters. And we got... let's see if I got all of them down. Ken Masters from Street Fighter. Mach Ryder from the original NES game, likely going to be a Captain Falcon Echo.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which Ken is clearly an Echo of
Ryu. Yes. Shadow the Hedgehog, almost certainly an Echo of Sonic.
Should be Tails.
Banjo-Kazooie, which will be a new character, I'm assuming. Geno from Mario, Super Mario RPGs.
The first one, yeah.
Yeah, the first one. You got Isaac from Golden Sun, and then Chorus Kids from Rhythm Heaven.
Hmm. I played a little bit of Golden Sun.
Did you say Banjo-Kazooie?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I was all 7.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hmm. So, I'm pretty positive we only talk about Ken on the Thursday show.
We definitely talked about Shadow, too.
In that, but that's it.
And I said Mach Ryder, because I'm kind of excited about Mach Ryder.
I don't know who that is.
That's a cool character.
He's like the bad guy from Captain Falcon.
No, he's not. He had his own game.
Did he?
Yeah.
I thought he was just the... What's the name of the Shadow Rider thing? I thought he was the Captain Falcon clone. That's why everyone thought he was going to be the Echo.
Yeah. Mach Rider, he had his own NES game.
It'll be fun, though.
I'll look that up. That's a thing for later, though. I mean, this is... Like, Banjo-Kazooie's pretty big, because that could be kind of the Microsoft team up there.
Oh, yeah.
Which, and it doesn't exclude Minecraft or Steve from being DLC.
Ugh.
Because I do think that, I still think that there's going to be, like, they would be silly not to have DLC.
Yeah.
For this game.
That's very true.
Black Shadow is probably the, that's the big Captain Falcon bad guy from the time.
Okay. Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
But honestly, I only, I didn't mess around with F-Zero a whole lot back in the day.
I didn't either. My friend Derek had it, and I was terrible at it. Terrible.
I was all right at the GameCube version, but that was about it. And Mach Rider was just an old NES game, like a 1985 NES game that was kind of fun.
Okay.
But anyway, and it's just, I like the character. Like it's a neat character. So yeah, no, that's a lot of huge news. Like, yeah, Banjo-Kazooie being in the game, obviously huge. Just really goes to show that Microsoft is planning on working with Nintendo to try and topple the giant that is, you know, PlayStation right now.
Also, part of that leak included it corresponds with a Korokoro scan.
Yeah.
That said, because right now there's 103 stages with Shadow and Ken being Echo Fighters, because Mach Rider will be his own thing.
Mm-hmm.
Then it would make sense that all five of the original characters would get their own stages. Korokoro has a scan showing that there's 108 stages.
Good God.
Which would be the five more than the 103 that have been confirmed.
Oh.
Yeah, basically.
And officially announced.
This is all, like, especially the, like, and then this and the Korokoro, there are far too many, like, coincidences and things that, like, pieces that fall into place perfectly.
And then there's the Grinch. Because this is called the Grinch leak, or the Grinch theory.
Yeah.
Because the same company is working on marketing material for an upcoming Grinch game. There was Grinch materials shown in that in that Snapchat, and just other stuff that goes with it. So, there's a lot of. If this isn't legit, it is the most realistic leak,
right.
Fake that we have seen possibly ever.
Yeah, somebody put
not even just like Smash Brothers. Just
somebody put an insane amount of effort into this leak. If it's fake,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
An insane amount of effort, Shannon Young of Podzilla 1985.
Hi, Shannon.
I have to open the store now.
Yep. All right, guys. That's going to do it for us. We'll see you next time.